This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
I got a post on Facebook. You can always post on the Facebook show as well, facebook.com/Zioli Show, or Twitter, social media on Twitter, at Rich Cioli, Z-E-O-L-I. Tracy says, in answer to your question, I'm not watching any of it, but my 74-year-old mom said to me yesterday, did you watch any of the hearing? It's getting pretty bad. She and her sister watch these things through the lens of the biased leftist media, and their takeaway is, oh my God. My aunt even said that she's starting to get worried. I reassured my mom that this crap will not pass in the Senate, and I went on to tell her what you said about the attempt to weaken Trump's standing while overseas. My mom is not a political junkie, and I imagine many like her are more easily and unnecessarily troubled by this ridiculous, wasteful S show with the S emoticon. Look, I think that's part of the strategy here, actually. I think the part of the strategy from Democrats is just throw absolute chaos towards the nation and hope that the nation will want to move on from it in November. That's, I think, part of their strategy. It goes like this. The economy is doing great, and Trump's popularity among his base is really, really strong. He hasn't started any new wars. He hasn't done anything yet that could really hurt him politically speaking. So create chaos by this nonstop impeachment nonsense. Make people upset that by November they just want it to change, and they just go, anybody just to get this to be enough of this. It's too much craziness. I think that's part of their strategy. I think the other part of the strategy is do this impeachment and hope the economy crashes. I know it sounds horrible to say, but would it surprise you? I mean, would it be the first time that lefties actually tried to do an economic revolution? Of course not. It's happened throughout history many, many times. So if you just go out there and you talk about this chaos enough and the economy does, in fact, slow down, and then Trump is more vulnerable because the economy slowed down, I think that's part of their strategy. Because they know they're not going to get the guy in the Senate. They know they're not going to take him out in the Senate. So why keep going down this road? Why keep doing this? And I think that's the reason why. I think that's what some of them are hoping will come of this. So moderate Democrats are getting very, very nervous. I don't think they're moderates, of course. I think they're in moderate districts, but they're getting very nervous. Representative Tom O'Halloran from Arizona, co-chair of the moderate Blue Dog Coalition, said, I would prefer that we stick to what we have. Activities from the 2016 election, I think, should be left to voters in the 2020 election, said Representative Brian McAdams of Utah, who represents one of the most GOP-leaning seats in the nation. My focus is on these things that are forward-looking. These are Democrats who are saying, I'm going to lose if you keep going down this road. I'm going to lose. Now, the witnesses yesterday, and Democrats, absolutely crazy. This is 2017, Professor Pamela Karlan. She was one of the testimonies yesterday, one of the three who hate the president who was sitting up there. Stanford Law School, quote-unquote constitutional scholar. This is in a 2017 American Constitution Society panel discussion. Now, among the people on the panel included that turncoat sellout war hawk Bill Kristol from the now-debunked whatever his dumb magazine was, and moderated by the Washington Post Ruth Marcus. Karlan repeatedly launched in a rant about Trump's outrageous behavior. Take a listen.
Yeah, so I was struck, I came in from the airport yesterday and I got off the bus from Dulles down at L'Enfant Plaza and I walked up to the hotel, and as I was walking past what used to be the old post office building and is now the Trump Hotel, which I had to cross the street, of course. But
I hate him so much I can't walk in front of his hotel. I hate the man so much I had to cross the street rather than look at his hotel. I mean, how bizarre is that? I had to cross the street. It's a building. What did she think? He was going to suck her in like some sort of a time warp or something and pull
Amityville.
Her in? What?
Amityville.
Yeah, Amityville Horror, right. Oh, the glow, the blue glow. You're supposed to be a professor, and that is the most irrational thing. It's like a teenage girl would do. I'm going to walk across the street.
One of my boys walked in the room when she was on TV and went, like the
Yeah, the
Mr.
Wicked
Oz.
Witch.
Yes.
Yeah, that picture was going around the internet. There were a lot of them yesterday. Yes. All right, keep going.
I had to cross the street, of course. But
are you staying there?
God, no.
God, no.
Never.
Are you kidding? No.
But as I was,
would never let my leftist body touch those Trumpian sheets. Go ahead.
God, no. Never. Never. But as I was noticed, there's a statue of Ben Franklin outside of the hotel. And of course, the thing that instantly popped into my mind because I was coming to do this panel is the famous remark that Franklin makes at the end of the Constitutional Convention when he leaves the room and he's out on the street and this woman comes up to him and says, "Well, what kind of government do we have?" And he says,
"Yours, madam.
Well done. Well done.
There's your CLE credit right there."
That's right. That's right.
How could you possibly know that? You're progressives.
That was Bill Kristol with a little neocon. Now, this woman hates the president so much, and she's called to be a witness to offer expert testimony. Imagine if that was a trial, criminal trial. How do you think that would work out? Your Honor, this so-called expert witness hates my client so much, she can't even walk in front of his hotel. And when asked the question of, "Did you stay there?" is a God no. Your Honor, I move to have this witness dismissed over the fact that this expert, quote unquote expert, is in no way, in fact, Your Honor, impartial. I think that expert witness would be thrown off the stand in a heartbeat. Imagine if that was like a ballistics expert or a psychologist or someone there to give their analysis. If a judge found out that person had so much preceded animosity and hatred towards the defendant.
Are you staying there?
God, no.
God, no.
Never.
The chumpiness might come on me. How do you get that chumpiness off you? That's me making my trumpiness. How do you get the trumpiness off you like that? I mean, Dawn wouldn't stay there either, but that's only because she doesn't stay at any hotels.
I would stay at that one.
Yeah, that one's probably good. When you have this kind of hatred for a president, and then you have somebody who stands up there, or sits there, and then goes on about her thinking and her views on impeachment, you have to ask yourself, really, does any of this make sense to anybody in terms of why they'd bring this person on the stage? Of course, Jonathan Turley was great yesterday. Jonathan Turley was, he's a brilliant guy. He's an absolute constitutional expert, and he's not somebody who voted for Trump. And Jonathan Turley made it very, very clear yesterday that they don't even have the evidence here. In fact, Turley even said the Dems' impeachment narrative would even contradict the position of President Barack Obama.
Is there a concern that if we just say it up that facts don't matter, that we're also, as you've said, abusing our power as we go forward here and actually looking at what people would actually deem as an impeachable offense?
I think so. And part of the problem is that to bring a couple of these articles, you have to contradict the position of President Obama. President Obama withheld evidence from Congress in Fast and Furious, an investigation, a rather moronic program, that led to the death of a federal agent. President Obama gave a sweeping argument that he was not only not going to give evidence to this body, but that a court had absolutely no role in determining whether he could withhold the evidence.
That's right. And that's not the first time, by the way, that Barack Obama did stuff against Congress. He was actually held in contempt of court at one point in the Obama administration for not doing what Congress told him to do. At another point, he was held in contempt of court by a judge when he was not following what a judge ordered the administration to do. But none of that stuff was ever a problem, remember, in the past. None of that was ever a problem. Matt Gaetz went after the professor yesterday, Pamela Karlan, and I want to play a little bit of that. Gaetz was on fire yesterday, Congressman Matt Gaetz. Cut four.
Professor Karlan, you gave $2,000, or you gave $1,000 to Elizabeth Warren, right?
I believe so.
You gave $1,200 to Barack Obama?
I have no reason to question that.
And you gave $2,000 to Hillary Clinton?
That's correct.
Why so much more for Hillary than the other two?
Because I've been giving a lot of money to charity recently because of all of the poor people in the United States.
Oh, you bleeding heart, you. Look at you. You bleeding heart. Aw.
Well, those aren't the only folks you've been given to. Now, have you ever been on a podcast called Versus Trump?
I think I was on a live panel that the people who ran the podcast called Versus Trump.
On that, do you remember saying the following? Liberals tend to cluster more. Conservatives, especially very conservative people, tend to spread out more, perhaps because they don't even want to be around themselves. Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
Do you understand how that reflects contempt on people who are conservative?
No, what I was talking about there was the natural tendency, if you put the quote in context, the natural tendency of a compactness requirement to favor a party whose voters are more spread out.
Well,
and I do not have contempt
for
conservatives.
Hold on, again, I'm very limited on time, Professor. And so I just have to say, when you talk about how liberals want to be around each other and cluster, and conservatives don't want to be around each other, and so they have to spread out, it makes people, you may not see this from, you know, like the ivory towers of your law school, but it makes actual people in this country
when
feel
the
like,
president
excuse
calls
me, you don't get to interrupt me on this time. Now, let me also suggest that when you invoke the president's son's name here, when you try to make a little joke out of referencing Barron Trump, that does not lend credibility to your argument. It makes you look mean. It makes you look like you're attacking someone's family, the minor child of the president of the United States. So let's see if we can get into the facts. To all of the witnesses, if you have personal knowledge of a single material fact in the Schiff report, please raise your hand.
Nobody raises their hand.
And let the record reflect. No personal knowledge of a single fact. And you know what? That continues on the tradition that we saw from Adam Schiff, where Ambassador Taylor could not identify an impeachable offense. Mr. Kent never met with the president. Fiona Hill never heard the president reference anything regarding military aid. Mr. Hale was unaware of any nefarious activity with aid. Colonel Vindman even rejected the new Democrat talking point that bribery was invoked here. Ambassador Volker denied that there was a quid pro quo, and Mr. Morrison said there was nothing wrong on the call. The only direct evidence came from Gordon Sondland, who spoke to the President of the United States, and the President said, I want nothing. No quid pro quo. And you know what? If wiretapping a political opponent's an impeachable offense, I look forward to reading that Inspector General's report, because maybe it's a different president we should be impeaching.
The gentleman's time has expired, Mr. Cicilline.
Now, by the way, she was about to say, when the president says all Mexicans are rapists, you see, she hates this president. And she's there as their star witness on impeachment. The historical, sober, objective analysis of a constitutional scholar who won't even cross in front of the president's hotel because she hates him so much. See, that's the point. I mean, that's right there exactly why you look at this and you go, I mean, how does somebody like that get to give their opinion on anything related to this? She responded, of course, to Representative Collins, another Republican who went after her during the proceedings. Cut five.
It was a great honor for me to represent this committee because of this committee's key role over the past.
All right, let me get to that next. I'm going to play that clip for you in just a second, but I want you to know that, because this is an absolute travesty of objective analysis by quote unquote witnesses. And if this were a trial, the judge would throw them off the stand and out of the courtroom.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.